Hello and welcome to a three-inning save podcast. Eric, the fates did not want us to record this episode, but we're going to anyway.
This is a three-inning save podcast and like a third try. I don't know. Like, it's just, the internet gods are not smiling upon us, but we persevered. We're here.
Melissa was gardening and cut our fiber optic cable yesterday, so we couldn't record yesterday. The game are in Korea, if you haven't heard. So time zones, but we weren't recording on our normal Sunday time, and you are on a cell phone hotspot right now.
Yeah. So you're right. So we're recording this Tuesday morning ahead of the Wednesday morning, early morning, opening day. And you like went to a different location to record because of your internet situation. And like literally as you got there, my internet went out. So this is
But we're
fun.
Here. We're going to talk about the exhibition games that were in Korea. We're going to talk about the two real games that count. All the roster stuff, all the news catching up, and then corrections from Craig. All of that after this.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
So you didn't fly to Korea.
I did not.
Wow.
I'm assuming they have better internet there.
But sure. I assumed you watched both games.
Yeah, one game was at a normal time for the West Coast, 8 p.m. Saturday night, and then the Monday morning game was a trial run for the two what are going to be the two regular season games. In that, it started at 3 a.m. Pacific time,
which is I guess 4 might be a little worse, but. That puts you in 3:30 was probably the like, do I stay up? Do I wake up early? Mm-hmm.
Well, I will say this. I tried to prepare for it and I failed miserably. kind of a normal Sunday, went visited some family for like a brunch, watched a little bit of basketball, watched the selection show, and then like pretty much like right around 4 o'clock. I was like, I'm going to try to sleep now, like through the evening, and then I'll just be up for pregame stuff. And, you know, because there's a pregame press conference, there might be if the Dodgers were going to make a roster move. I mean, they did before the Saturday game. We'll get to that in a second, but it was going to happen at that time. And then my plans to sleep for like 6 or 7 hours ahead of time turns out. I slept about an hour and a half, and I could not get back to sleep, which made me kind of a wreck in that very murky middle of the night. What am I doing awake? And then just when you think like hope is lost, oh, the game's about to start. Like, and then then you're in this different zone. What I did do, I tried to like sort of soothe the sleep pain by I went to a local taco shop and got a bunch of carne asada before they closed at midnight. And then I ate some of it when I got it. And then I ate more of it once the game started. And that actually did help a little bit. However, that like whole sleep debacle, like I crashed for about 4 hours after the game. And we're sitting here Tuesday morning and I still am like feeling just like discombobulated. So these next 2 days are going to be something. We'll see how it goes.
So
that's what I'm saying. That's the real takeaway here.
Yeah, so let's talk about the games and questions. I watched almost all of the game against the national team. I went upstairs Monday to like do laundry or something, and it ended really, really quick. Gavin Stone is carving people up.
So he won. Well, I'm skipping a little bit ahead here because you mentioned him, but he won the fifth starter job. Very strong spring. He was actually told before that outing on Monday. But he comes. So Bobby Miller got the start in that. He's not starting either of the two regular season games. So, you know, he's sort of getting his work in. He pitched 5 innings. Stone followed. Dodgers are up 5-2. Stone pitches 3 scoreless, hitless. Comes out for the 9th, which it seemed like a personal way to taunt me for that a 4-inning save was coming. And then they took Gavin Stone out with 1 out in the 9th. I know they had a limit to it because Dave Roberts, like specifically before the game, was like, we're probably going to get JP FireEyes in there too. I think, you know, they always talk about up and downs. Like you want to, because Stone's going to be a starter, so you want to like get him, you know, stretch out. So you pitch an inning, you sit, and you go out, and then you pitch, and then so he got 4 up and downs essentially is what that was about. But so he faced 11 batters, struck out 8. He walked a guy, so terrible outing in that regard. No, that was his only base runner. So he was pretty awesome. His big thing is his changeup. You know, it's a great changeup, right? But like last year, like in the majors at least, nothing else was working. Fastball wasn't working. His secondary other pitches weren't working. So he has a great changeup, but if that's the only pitch he has, like they're just going to lay off it. And then they hit the crap out of his other pitches. But now like his fastball is working. He was hitting like 97 on Monday. His slider is working. Everything's kind of working, which makes the changeup devastating. And he was like making a lot of hitters look silly in that game. So he's in a good spot right now. And, you know, he's going to be, I would imagine, you know, we always say, like, you never know with pitching, but, like, he's got a nice little probably April at least. But then, you know, you never know what's going to happen in the rotation. Like, his time might be up at the end of April if Walker Buehler is back or Emmett Sheehan. But then they have other pitchers and pitchers get hurt. So, like, you never know. He's just got to keep pitching and then, you know, as long as they let you, basically.
So we'll start back him again. I just kind of want to get that out of there. I only saw a little sort of the middle of the game against the Heroes. And by the time I turned in, it was, I think, 32-1 or something like that. So it wasn't super
roughly.
Not that these exhibition games are ever, you know, competitive from that angle. But let's talk about Shohei. He did not have the best 2 games after a otherwise 5. Really good spring.
0-for-5 with 2 strikeouts. You wonder, is he going to be benched for opening day? Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. It's possible. So it's funny, right? We've talked about this a few episodes ago, but like Shohei Ohtani's always seems like he's very much in control of his like world, right? Like he's got his sort of set schedule, like. when he gets his swings in, what he's going to do that day. Very, very regimented. And then also very, but, and, you know, every reporter in the world is like following his every move. But he's also very private. And I would imagine for good reason, because who would want that to be people that intrusive into their life? So it was like, it was sort of funny when he just like announces a couple weeks back on Instagram, oh, by the way, I'm married now. And then he did one press conference the next morning about it in Camelback Ranch. And then he's like, oh, my wife's a normal Japanese person. Like, it just sort of came out in conversation, right? It wasn't, you know, that it's just the implication that he wasn't like, I don't think it was pejorative from his standpoint. It was more, it was just like, you know, she's a civilian. It was like Dylan Hernandez, and he had a good column about sort of just that relationship between the media and Ohtani. And he was basically, he sort of read it as that was Ohtani saying, hey, like, she's a civilian, you know, in a sense, back off. Like, you know, don't make this harder. But then, and then, so naturally, you know, players, pretty much everyone in like the Dodgers traveling party, I think could bring significant other to Korea. And so all the like, hey, we're boarding the plane photos going to Seoul are there. And then sure enough, he's with his wife. And then her name is Mamiko Tanaka. She is a former professional basketball player in Japan. And I think the Shobei like sleuths / stalkers online were kind of ahead of the curve on that. I think they sort of sussed out that's who it might be. But it was just funny, like all of a sudden, like, oh, she's there, she's front and center again. Like, you know, so like, but it, very much in Shohei's like control, and not her in control, just like of him to information to the public, right? Like, yeah. And so
it's like, whoa.
yeah, that I definitely didn't mean that. But it's just funny. It was just sort of funny the way it all came out. And but yeah, then of course, you know, the pictures, and you're like, oh damn, their kids are gonna be tall. Like, I think she's 5'11", right? And then it was just pretty funny. But I guess the other news with Ohtani came the other day, and it's news in the loosest sense possible, because it's nothing imminent. But Dave Roberts mentioned Shohei Ohtani is going to start his throwing program once they get back to the United States.
I mean, I think it's news. It's just don't jump to the conclusions, y'all.
Oh, right. Right. And so there's two things. He's not going to pitch this year. You know, even with this, there was a complicating factor to that, in that Dr. Neil Elitrash, who performed both Ohtani's Tommy John surgery in 2018 and this last secretive non-named elbow procedure in September, said, oh, you know, if everything goes according to our plan, he'll be facing hitters in September. You know, and that's in the rehab sense. It doesn't mean game. And that very well much might be true, but like Dave Roberts in that same press conference where he mentioned Ohtani starting his throwing program, he's like I'm not going to put anything past him, but like and he did say, if Dr. Neil Elitrash says it, like, I believe him because he's the expert. But it also doesn't mean necessarily that he's going to pitch this year. It's just, that's just part of the rehab process, right? But the other implication here is that eventually, and I think later in the season, because I don't think there's still a lot of stress on the elbow, just in general throwing, or in terms of game throwing, but there's at least a small chance that Ohtani might play in the outfield at some games. So he only did this 7 times with the Angels in his 6 years with the Angels, and all of them came in 2021. 7 games, all in reserve, and it was 8 1/3 total innings. So we're not talking about a lot. But I think that's just like a potential thing pretty far down the road, I think, even if all goes well. But yeah, that's sort of where it's at with that. Yeah.
So let's let's look ahead. You know, I'm sure we'll sort of notes coming from those two games, especially about the roster, will come in. What is the 31-man roster? Is that right?
So they...
That's the travel party.
I had to do a Venn diagram on True Blue Valley because it was very confusing to explain in words, and it's going to be confusing to explain in words now. But so,
and it ultimately doesn't actually matter.
Right.
I mean, obviously, the Dodgers, they have to obey the rules, but...
The Dodgers took a 31-player travel roster to Seoul. All of those players were eligible in the two exhibition games. Included some players who were already optioned, like Hunter Fiducia and Landon Knack. Landon Knack did not pitch in the exhibition games. Hunter Fiducia, I believe, filled in at DH for Ohtani in both games. He certainly hit in both games. Not sure exactly what he did in the second game, but... So from that 31 player roster will be the 26 man active roster for the two games against the Padres. That's coming later Tuesday night. Maybe by the time you're reading this, you already know what the Dodgers opening day roster is. But then there's also the complicating factor of when the Dodgers submit their opening day roster, they actually submit 29 players. 26 are active. Three are exempt. Very weird term. But all that really means is that because they're starting a week early, it just means they don't have to cut all the way down to 26 by now. It just delays three roster moves until real opening day, like a week from now. There is a little bit... intrigue is a strong word, and it's probably too strong. But there is, like, a little bit of, like... maybe something else could happen with this, but you already have James Paxton and Bruiser Gratterall stayed back, and both are on track, I believe, for opening. Certainly Paxton, he hasn't had any setbacks. He's going to be active once the Dodgers start the regular schedule on the 28th, which will also earn him a $2 million bonus. That was part of his contract. Gratterall was slowed in camp, first by a hip thing and then by shoulder soreness. But as of the time they left, like, it seemed that he was going to be okay. That could have changed. I don't know. I guess we'll know when they submit the rosters. But, like, there's also the possibility that Gratterall, they just put him on the injured list. And then that starts the 20th, but you could also backdate it 3 days. So... you're talking 12 days of the season, but that's really only 7 total games. It's the 2 against the Padres, the first 4 against the Cardinals, and the first game against the Giants. So in terms of an IL stint, like that's about as minimal as it comes, if it comes to that. I don't know what Gratterall's situation is, but that also might be the case for back to Gratterall for a second. If the Dodgers did that with Gratterall, that would also allow them to put like Gavin Stone on the exempt list because he pitched a 3 1/3 on Monday. He's not pitching in the Padres games, I would imagine. Same for Bobby Miller, who pitched 5. So I think the default exempt 3 are Paxton, Miller, Gratterall. And it's not that big of a deal if like Stone's active. Think about a normal roster, right? You start an opening day with 26 players, but there's 4 other starting pitchers who aren't available that day. So, you know, it's pretty normal, right? But it's just like if they wanted to like finagle an extra reliever or something. The other sort of question mark is Blake Treinen, who again bruised his lung on a line drive back to his ribs. He did not pitch in either of the exhibition games. He was obviously cleared to go to South Korea with the team. I'm still like... you know, you're thinking like, okay, like he might, same thing. He might start on the injury list with that. You're missing essentially 7 games if it's a minimum 15-day stay. So it's not that big of a deal. But if none of that happens, like Treinen will be active, they'll have extra spots for essentially Michael Grove and Kyle Hurt for like multi-inning relief. And then JP Fireisen probably. But then, you know, as much as good as Grove and Hurt have looked, especially in like multi-inning role, it's hard. There's no room for either of them in the bullpen if everyone's healthy, you know, because in the season you only have eight. You have 13 pitchers, right, and you have the five starters. So, you know, assuming health, Phillips and Gratterall can be option, but they're the two best relievers. They're not. Then you have Trinan, Brazier, Kelly. Oh man, there's always someone I'm missing here. And then
Hudson,
Vessi, what?
Daniel Hudson.
Yeah, and then so oh yeah, and we'll get to him in a second. And then, but then Vessi and Yarbrough. So there's your eight, right? And, all of those, Vessi can be option, but they to what call up Matt Gage because you don't have another lefty. So, it's not as flexible of a roster, but it's still potentially a good pen. But yeah, Daniel Hudson is in there because they did add him to the roster. He made the team as a non-roster invitee. His minor league contract, he gets a $2 million salary in the majors. I think he can earn another $2 million in bonuses. So depending on games pitched and all that stuff, but that's sort of where they're at right now, roster wise. But yeah, the only real questions going into the opening day is like, is Trinan healthy? Is Gratterall healthy? And I think that's about it. Like in terms of, I mean, there obviously could be a surprise thing. But yeah, I guess the other one is,
does anyone else get hurt?
Right. And then, so the other thing I sort of thought they might, just for the two games in South Korea, because having that many pitchers is like, if only two pitchers are starting for the two games, everyone else can be used in relief in those two games. So do you really need 11 relievers? Right. So I was thinking Miguel Vargas might be just active just in case they wanted to have an extra pinch hitter or something. But that's not the case because he was optioned. It happened the same day as Daniel Hudson. It wasn't like a required move because they're not like finalizing spots or anything, but they did option Vargas. So he led to another confusing thing, sort of, not that confusing, but he's on the travel roster to South Korea. He appeared in both exhibition games, but then when they're in South Korea, they optioned him. But it's ever like, I think people read that and they're like, oh, what did they like say? Send him on a plane, like home. It's like, no, he's just there, right? Like just calm down. But what they did do to make room for Hudson on the 40 man was Andre Lipschitz, who was the like utility infielder they got from the Cardinals a couple weeks ago for cash. He was designated for assignment there. They designated him for assignment, so he'll go on waivers within the next couple days, see if he's claimed or not. But yeah, that's sort of that. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I think those are the only of all the pitchers. You know, obviously Tyler Glasnow, Yoshinobu Yamamoto didn't pitch because they're starting. Of the other 14 pitchers, 10 pitched, so you basically only have Trinan who didn't pitch. Ryan Yarbrough didn't pitch, although I think that's mostly because he's going to be used in a multi-inning capacity in one of the two games. Gus Varland, who's probably like the last man on the totem pole in terms of the bullpen people, he's probably going to get optioned when they finalize the roster, I think. And then Landon Knack, who again was already optioned, but he was there as an extra arm. So we'll just see how all that kind of goes.
I know it doesn't know, talking about who's going to make it, who's not. Of the players we know are going to make it, do you have any thoughts on how everyone's been looking, how, you know, sort of lineup construction, anything, any lingering thoughts before we get a real game in?
Because of all the spring training, you know, there's like maneuvering around and not everyone plays on the same day. The two exhibition games, the one thing we did see is essentially their regular lineup, at least against like a right-handed pitcher. And it looks pretty good. Like, you know, just how it's set up. So, you know, the big three at the top, obviously Will Smith, Max Muncy, and then they have all three outfielders in a row. Teoscar Hernandez, sixth, James Outman, seventh, Hayward, eighth. And then Gavin Lux, ninth. Like if you have those guys at the bottom of your order, that's a pretty damn good lineup, and it looks pretty strong. Obviously, the infield defense is going to be thing to watch. that said, Max Muncy made a great play in Monday's game. A nice sort of quick stab right on the foul line, well behind third base, and a strong throw. Gavin Lux had a nice play, I believe, in that game too. So I think it's much better for him to be at second. I think he was still having throwing problems when he first switched over, but like that'll be something to watch. But I think ultimately he's going to be fine. And most importantly, I think why they wanted to keep him around is that he's going to hit. I think hit enough. So yeah, that's going to be something to watch. But speaking of that lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Freddie Freeman, who led the Dodgers in
is
the Cactus
making
League,
the team?
He might. Well, we don't know for sure until they submit the opening day rosters. He's batting third. He's going to drive in a lot of runs this year. Wednesday morning is going to be, I'm assuming, again, this is assuming, I think he's going to start. If he does, that'll be his 14th consecutive opening day start. And then so that's the third longest active streak in Major League Baseball. Who are the only two players with longer streaks than Freddie Freeman?
So before we go to break, I want a couple of clarifications. So our listeners at home, as they think about this, are you're counting Freddie's 2024? Are the other streaks counting? Assuming are they active players in 2024?
Yeah, the two players ahead of him are active in 2024.
Okay. I will take a stab at that after this. Who are the only two players ahead of Freddie Freeman on active starting day streaks? I have to cross out one name here because that player has retired, and I didn't know how you were counting this. So, all right.
Wait, just who was that? Who is that one player?
Cabrera.
Yeah. He started the last 20 opening days, by the way. Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
man, I have... Okay, let me go with the name I think I'm confident about. confident, maybe. Charlie Blackman?
No.
I was so confident. 'Cause there, 14 years is so long. There's so many players I'll think about. Man, they've been must have done it forever. And I'm like, no, it was 13 years they started. You know, it still feels like forever. But
yeah,
and there's a bunch
a possibility
of like
he might have
surely
been
that player had been
years.
Hurt at some point, but yeah. Maybe not.
It's always the timing, right? Like of when you
when
might
were
get
they
hurt?
Yeah,
yeah.
All right, so I've got four other names. I'm just gonna throw them at you mm-hmm. and see what's going on. I'm putting the active part of your thing to a limit here and saying Joey Votto.
No.
Okay. Crossing it out. And I will be curious to see, like, oh, yeah, they were, you know, had one injury in 2015.
Yeah. Broke I will say I don't know the specifics without looking up these individual players. How I searched this was going back X number of years, which players had the most, and like if it matched the year, you know, like
yeah,
no, I go no, back like 10 years, yeah, that kind of thing. And so if these players didn't show up, I just
sure, no, right? I'm not saying how dare you not know why Joey Votto was on this list.
Yeah,
something for me to look up later. I have three more names. We'll go. No, I'm crossing off. Okay, I have two more names, and we'll go. Then you'll tell me why I was wrong. I'm sure I'm forgetting two very obvious players, and I'm going to cry. Evan Longoria.
No.
He was the first person I thought of, but I'm like, certainly he was hurt one of those years.
I think when he came up in 08, he was like a few weeks into the season, but he would be someone who's like basically right there, like you would think. Yeah.
Salvador Perez.
No. I think he missed a year recently, like with something.
In my head, that it was like he missed, he got hurt
most of
late
it, yeah.
enough, but. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I was happy with my list and none were right. Who am I obviously forgetting?
Okay. So before I get to the two ahead of him, so Giancarlo Stanton also ended or through last year has 13 straight. So he could be also another 14 straighter.
That's actually who I thought of last but year, who, or yesterday.
You also, you also
yesterday.
Don't
that's
think
who I
of,
thought of yesterday when I read this.
Nobody thinks of Giancarlo Stanton as a bastion of health, so like it was entirely possible that he missed one.
I mean, I put Evan Longoria in, so had I remembered what I thought of yesterday, I would have at least guessed
the person,
that. And still been only half not really right.
The person who has the active longest streak is Elvis Andrews with 15 straight. However, he's a non-roster invitee in Diamondbacks camp, and he was already reassigned to minor league camp on March 10th, so his streak is going to end. Which leaves Andrew McCutchen, who has started the last 14 in a row opening days. He is healthy and is going to probably, I'm assuming, start his 15th in a row. He and his wife just had like their fourth child, like I think yesterday, I want to say. So it's entirely possible like he's just out for the next week and then he's back for opening day or whatever.
But, I'm so mad I didn't write notes yesterday because I thought of Kutch too. Then completely forgot it today.
Dang it.
But that's it. It's fun list. You obviously Miguel Cabrera was the, I was like, damn, that's a lot of opening. I kept going back. Like how long does this go? So he came up in 2003, but not mid season, mm-hmm. but like in the season. And then he just started the next 20 years on opening day. Albert Pujols was fun because he started every opening day, 22 years, in his career. And he retired in 2022. So those are fun. Yeah.
Yep. wasn't going to get Andrus, but I definitely could have gotten Kutch if I had remembered.
Yeah, it was one of those when I saw Andrus, I was like, yeah, that makes sense. Like,
All right, and I thought of Beltre too. Obviously, since retired, I realized. Yeah. But just thinking of lawn standing would be starters. All right, well, I got to turn the tables around because it's time for
questions from Craig.
Happy opening day week, international version. Hope you had a nice weekend. Here are this week's questions. Are you ready, Eric, for some opening day trivia? Here are four questions about this wonderful baseball day. Tyler Glasnow is scheduled to start on opening day for the Dodgers. Glasnow is the third pitcher to make their LA Dodger debut on opening day. Can Eric name the other two in years they made those starts?
Oh, boy. The first one that came to mind, it's got to be Kevin Brown in 99.
Correct.
And there's apparently two more.
One more. Glasnow is the third, so you only have to
have
one more.
Oh, okay. Man.
I will give you the year when you won it.
Sure. Okay, so they traded. I don't even think this is right, but it's the first name that came to my mind. Is it Derek Lowe in 2005?
It is Derek Lowe in 2005.
Nice. Well, because done. I was thinking it's either him or Penny that year, because they got Penny the year before.
Mookie Betts is on track to be the fourth different starting shortstop since 2021 for the Dodgers. Corey Seager, Trey Turner, Miguel Rojas, and Betts. The longest streak of different starting shortstops is six, which has been done twice. The first streak was from 97 to 02, and the second from 11 to 2016. How many of these 12 shortstops can Eric name before missing three? So there you go. You got three strikes.
All right. So Mark Grzelcyk. I'm kind of probably going a little out of order here. I'm focusing on the first group first, though.
I will do my best to keep track.
Cesar Asturias. Greg Gagne.
Yep.
Kevin Elster.
Yep.
Oh boy. Okay. I'm going to depart from that group for a moment because I ran out of players for that. So I'm going to try to pick off some other ones here. Corey Seager, Jimmy Rollins. Hanley Ramirez.
Yep. So you're missing the first three from the second group and then two random ones in the first group.
Oh boy. Nope. There's no way. Okay, was it? Man, it's weird how these years run together. Is Jamie Carroll in there?
No.
Okay. There's one miss. All right. So 11, 12, 13.
Mm-hmm.
So Hamley got hurt in spring training in 2013. Was that the year he injured himself in the World Baseball Classic? I don't remember. This is all running together. But I'm struggling to think who. Nope. What about D. Gordon? D. Gordon?
D. Gordon is the middle.
2012,
yep. Thank you. That's good.
Yeah.
Do math.
Before they.
2011 plus what?
It's hard. 2013. So, I'm struggling to remember the name of the player who I believe I can't even remember the full premise of the bit, but like I think Hanley Ramirez was pretending to be his interpreter for a post game interview, but everyone spoke English, so they were messing with whoever was doing it. And I can't remember this shortstop's name. I think it's Angel Barroa.
Not a starting day shortstop.
Okay.
Strike two.
So now I have
2011, 2013, right. 98, and 2000.
Right. That's a rough time. I'm just having trouble remembering who like the mid 90s shortstop was for some. Oh wait, no. Okay, what about Ramon Martinez for one of the latter ones?
No. Last one.
Okay, I think I'm out. Yeah.
The years are a little confusing. I'm going to have to. Sure. I don't have time to do this live.
Yeah.
Because I actually think it might have been. No, maybe that's right. Whatever. I'll just tell you the names and I'll figure it out later. You missed Alex Cora.
Okay. Yeah.
Jose Vizcaino.
Yeah. All right.
Rafael Furcal.
So I was thinking of him, but then I forgot how long he was there.
Yeah. And then Justin Sellers.
The subject of our first ever episode of the True Blue LA podcast. damn it. So mad. All right.
Two LA Dodger pitchers have recorded two opening day saves. Who are those relievers? It's kind of surprising it's only two.
Yeah.
To me.
Oh boy. What about first that best act, Kenley and Todd Worrell.
Todd Worrell is correct. Kenley is not.
Broxton?
It is Broxton.
Yeah.
Four LA Dodgers have hit two home runs on opening day, and one of them did it twice. Can you name the person who did it twice? Dodger opening day power man.
Opening day power man. So I think... Raul Mondesi?
It is Raul Mondesi.
Oh, man. Okay. I was either going to go with him or Karros. I remember specifically one Mondesi game. I did not remember the other. That's why I was, I was hurting.
All right. You did good.
I think so.
You didn't remember Justin Sellers, so failure, I guess, actually.
It was. Yep.
Tyler Glasnow has averaged 10-plus strikeouts per 9 innings pitched while also averaging 4 strikeouts per walks since 2019. Only 2 ERA-qualified LA Dodger pitchers have averaged over 11 strikeouts per 9 inning, Hideo Nomo and Clayton Kershaw. Will Glasnow become the third Dodger pitcher to accomplish this feat?
So he has to qualify for the ERA title? So 162 innings? I think Glasnow's going to be great, and there's actually a decent chance he qualifies. But I'm going to play the percentages and say no.
I won't be a hater yes.
Yeah.
Due to injuries, Michael Grove was a surprise fifth starter in the first week of 2023. What are the chances Grove gets a start in April?
Oh man, decent. If only that. You don't know the timing of Sheehan. You figure Buehler is taking all of April to ramp up. So I think Grove might be the next in line if he's not. So I guess the caveat there is if one of the regular 8 relievers is down, Grove is probably in the bullpen as a 2-inning guy or whatever. So maybe that lessens his chance of a start in April. There's two ways about this. So they only need given the off days and all this, I think they only need, it's 4 of their first, something 24 games, would need to be on 4 days rest for the starter. So, they're in a good spot in terms of giving starters extra rest. But, you know how they always try to, they might spot start a guy to give the rotation, bump everyone a day, that sort of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you could see that kind of a thing with Grove. I still, and at some point in April, it's just, bound to happen. Someone's going to get tweaked or they just want an extra spot start. So I'm going to say he will start in April.
That's all right. Last year, the Dodgers had 5 pinch hit home runs for the contest. Predict who will hit the first Dodgers pinch hit home run. And there's a tiebreaker if we need it. I'm hoping we don't because it involves numbers.
Okay.
I have my guess. First? Kike Hernandez.
Okay. Oh boy. Okay. So just trying to think here. Pinch hit home run. I think it's going to be, in a weird twist, I'm going to go with the other Hernandez. I'm going to go Teoscar.
All right.
Even though I think he's going to start a ton. It's just going to be the one random time he doesn't start, and then he just comes in and bops one.
All right. Did you hear the Dodgers were in Korea this week?
What?
That's the question. No. This leads me to this question. A Korean food staple is kimchi, the fermented, sometimes spicy cabbage that can be eaten in a variety of ways. What are, if any, your favorite fermented or pickled foods, such as kimchi, sauerkraut, miso, yogurt? Kombucha. You seem like a kombucha man, Eric.
I have a hard time knowing or I don't understand kombucha. I don't know. It just seemed weird. I think I've tried it. It's fine. Not a big fermented guy, but I will say I buy yogurt when it's on sale. Just to have especially now with trying to get soft foods or whatever.
Only when they're trying to get rid of it do I want it.
You know what? That's the best time to do it. You get a good deal on some yogurt. You get Yoplait for 30 cents. You're in hog heaven.
Greek yogurt is a staple of my cooking. Just anytime you need to kind of give something a body. So
For sure. And good for like sauces, and you can just make all sorts of stuff with that. I will say, I think of this list, my favorite is probably sauerkraut.
I do love it's also sauerkraut.
Like, it's also like in a pretty specific setting. Like it's like on one
you
or
don't
two
want
sandwiches,
a big bowl of sauerkraut every single morning.
Yeah, right. Or like with a sausage or something, you know, like that sort of a thing.
I'm disappointed I dropped the Weird Al reference and you didn't pick it up.
I missed it. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Albuquerque is the whole point of the song. Sauerkraut. And then just general, I realizing that most of the foods that Craig mentioned are more in the sort of lawn pickling fermented variety, but I just like pickles. Yeah. Quick pickled onions, pickled cucumbers, etc.
Yeah. I like cooked and raw jalapenos, but I'll take a pickled jalapeno.
Oh yeah. You know, like pickled peppers, delicious.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's all good. So I maybe have had kimchi like three times in my life. I do need to probably eat that more. Just
I've had it
expand a little bit,
especially more so when I was in LA, had access to K-Town. There's some Korean restaurants though nearby. It's not my favorite. Melissa loves it. It's like one of her favorite things. And I'll have it. I'm not gonna turn it down, but it's just not. It's a little extra pungent for my taste.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, one last question from me to you, Eric.
Oh.
Do you have your plan for watching the game? You're going to watch it live, I assume.
Questions from Jacob. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I know you have to ask another one now. No. Like I said, my first attempt at figuring out the ahead of time sleep really cost me. So I think I'm going to try to do better this time, but I'm certainly going to be, watching it all live. 3 a.m. starts here. So I don't know. Opening day is always a spectacle. And then there's like, it's funny because they only play two games and they come home, but like, there's always like the crash after opening day, and then it's just like, oh, it's kind of normal now, but it's not really normal because it's another 3 a.m. game. But there is going to be like a period of a couple days after this trip. Now, they don't play again until Sunday when the freeway series starts, but I would imagine that those two or three days in between is going to be like a lot of just like settling back into things and getting back into a sort of a normal schedule. But yeah, I'll be up for the 3 a.m. I would imagine I'm going to be up probably by like 11 p.m. Because I think and then I'm just going to probably be up the whole way through, which is hopefully going to lead to a nice pair of crash naps after the game.
We are recording after the first game. Quickie.
Yeah. What? Oh, no. Yeah. Internet. Well, I would say internet willing.
Yes, yeah. Fair enough. My internet has been restored. I've been texted in the middle of recording this, so that's exciting. I'll be good to go. I have not figured out if I'm going to watch it live. It would be an early wake up for me, presumably.
Yeah.
At 5 a.m. I did turn
because you're a night person though. Like too, you know, like normally.
Not I've had to change that since having two kids. Doesn't work anymore. So I'm not as much of a night owl as I used to be.
Yeah,
but I can turn that back on if I have to.
5 a.m. is still ridiculously early, so like I get it. Like,
so we'll see. I did turn on the hide scores feature on MLB TV, so.
Oh.
So hopefully,
I didn't know that existed. That's a nice feature.
Yeah. So I'll have to just like not look at my phone to avoid text messages and the ilk from you and Craig freaking out about. Show his four-home game, but
another home run, like that's all it'll say.
But yeah, I'm excited, and I'll be talking to you like soon.
Yeah. Oh my god, it's tomorrow. Yeah, so that's we're here, folks. Opening day's here. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you have a schedule that works for you to watch the games, whether it's live or a little bit on delay. But the games count now, so it should be fun. And I don't know if you heard, but the Dodgers have Shohei Ohtani, so it's going to be fun. I think this season's going to be fun. I hope you enjoy listening to us at the three-inning save. But that's it for us this episode. We will be back again the next 2 days following the first two games in South Korea. So we will see you shortly. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Good one, Eric.